Joining me for today's episode of Indie Music Diaries is a very talented artist by the name of Danny El Rassi. How's it going, Danny?
Hey, thank you so much. Yeah, very well, very well. How are you?
I'm well. And again, very excited to be joined by another really exciting, it's crazy the amount of talent just in the sort of this area that we are in, because you're from Newcastle, right?
That's right.
Yeah. There's such, I mean, so many of the guests that I have had in these opening 20 episodes or so have been from that Sydney, Central Coast, Newcastle area. And you make up one of that contingent, that's for sure. So excited to have you on the podcast. I actually have been meaning to get you on for a while. But to kick it off, give people a bit of a lowdown about who you are and what sort of music you make.
Yeah, cool. So my name's Danny El Rassi, 26. And my genre is sort of hard to pinpoint, which makes it a tricky answer. Mm. But I guess it spans across like the singer-songwriter acoustic thing, but then a little bit of like ballad, pop, and sort of evolving a little bit into like a pop rock or like indie, I don't know. Let's go with pop.
Yeah. No, I know what you mean though. I was listening through to your stuff just before, as I always like to do with the artists that I'm talking to, and like hearing, I know what you mean, how there's not necessarily like a strict genre set to it.
Yeah.
But there's, I think you've already established quite a distinct style. That's what I've noticed in your music. Like that sort of Danny El Rassi style is almost becoming iconic in a way. And we'll talk more about your discography throughout this episode and sort of the music that you are making and potentially making in the future as well, which is always exciting.
Yeah.
But awesome stuff. And like I said, I've been meaning to get you on this podcast for a while. I think I've been following you for, I don't know, I started following you sometime last year when I started.
Yeah, I remember we like found each other and I've been following your journey as well.
Yeah, it's the social media just off the bat. Like social media is just a great thing for that. I've met like so many, majority of the people that I've had on this podcast are just like musicians that we've started following each other on Instagram. And it builds and grows from there.
As of this day.
Oh, dude, I'm so into TikTok. It's so good. Hey, let's jump into your discography and the music that you are releasing. So I've started doing this recently. Like usually we just talk about like sort of the latest one, but I find it interesting talking like going through chronologically and going from like the start and then sort of seeing the progression. And it's always quite retrospective for the artist as well. I find they're sort of like, I remember doing that and this. So jumping back to 2019, which is when you started releasing your first stuff onto streaming services, you had the EP that came out with the two singles leading up to it, Teeth, Movies, and then you released the EP. Just a couple months later. So we can sort of like package that all in together if you want, that whole EP and those singles there. A really cool and polished sound just straight off the bat, which is great to hear. Tell us about the process of making these tracks early on. Was this your first time recording? Had you had other projects in the past? Yeah, tell us about this, how you got started.
So this was my first kind of formal release, but I had been sort of performing and recording and in the studio and doing like a really random variety of music related things for like the 10 years leading up to that. And it was strange because although it was like my debut single and then debut music video and debut EP, I didn't feel so much that it was a debut, but it was in that realm. So it was the first time experiencing, you know, the Spotify for Artists app and what it means to like track your insights and understand EP sales and that sort of thing. So I was writing the songs for this EP, I guess, in the 2 or 3 years leading up to that release. I guess I just decided like it was one of the things on my bucket list, like to release music. And I just started to narrow down the songs that I did want to record. And, you know, it's funny, and you would understand this in hindsight now, those songs that I recorded and released are so, so far from the sound that I now aim for and write and produce. Like I do a lot of my own production and not necessarily the engineering, but definitely the arrangements and production. And it's just, you know, I listen back and I'm like, wow, she's a baby, you know, that's baby me. And it's really incredible to see that journey. And some of the reading and conversations I've had with people who work in the kind of record label world say that that journey is really important for the listener. Like our listeners, our audience, they follow us on this journey. So it's important to like to track, to actually document that journey. So yeah.
I love that. Yeah. And it's something, I mean, I guess I'm where I'm at now. I mean, I released my first few tracks just a few months, like back in the last year. So I'm sort of like in that position you were in then. And yeah, I can sort of, it's hard to imagine, but yeah, like thinking down the line, like I might feel like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? Like, what were those tracks? What was I doing? But you're right. Yeah. It's all about that documentation of the journey and seeing the progress in the music. And, you know, that's why it's important to, I think, really embrace sort of that moment you're in there and just write the music that you love at the time and release what you want. And don't be worried about, you know, what's going to happen in a year, 2 years time. And, you know, and then, you know, after the whole thing, you can step back and look and see that progression. And yeah, you're right. It's for fans. It's so, you know, worthwhile. Like that makes it so engaging when you see an artist develop and grow. Yeah, that's for sure. But
I look back at that time as well. Sorry to interrupt you there.
Okay.
I look back as well at that time, me and my band, like that was the time that we sort of got together and started playing. And we kind of did this like informal statewide tour where like over the span of a year to 2 years, which is when I kind of quit my full-time corporate job, which we can chat about if you like at some point. I just like kind of got them on board and we just started playing every single venue we could get our hands on. And the songs that were featured in those sets are the songs that were on the EP. So it really captures a period of time in my life. And the music I'm playing now, like I play so much less often, but I'm so much more selective about the venues and the sound and the team that I work with because I have like the privilege to be able to choose now. But at the time it was a matter of, you know, I am going to contact every single venue booker in this state and I'm going to play every venue that exists, not literally, that's impossible. And the amount of growth that went on in that time is like unfathomable. So,
so good. That's so good. And I think it's good, like sort of you having that perspective of that time back then, sort of those, I guess, those early days for you as an artist. So, and coming on, still 2019. Dead to Me was released. This is a really cool track. I was listening to this one before. This one might be my favorite of yours.
Thank you.
Tell us about the process of this one. It came in 2019, but it wasn't on the EP. So it was just a standalone single, hey?
That's right, yeah. So I released that EP and then I think I sensed a shift immediately after the EP. I was like, I'm ready. Like, because I had been sitting on those songs for so long, I was already moving. Dead to Me was a song that came to me in the shower.
Nice.
And I happened to have my phone in the bathroom, which I don't typically do. So, you know, that was meant to be. And I reached out, opened the shower and hit record on my voice memo and just recorded this one line, like the beginning of the chorus. And then like literally in my towel, my hair was wet. I like sat at the piano or maybe it was a guitar. I can't remember. And I hashed out in the beginning. I still have the voice memo where you can hear the shower running in the background.
So good.
Which I think is so awesome. Yeah. And then within weeks, I had already played it with the band. We had arranged it. I found a mate who's a guitarist who I decided I wanted to co-produce with because he can kind of cover those guitar sounds and I can sort of cover the rest in terms of vision. And we got into the studio that my mate owns and just did it and it was done and it was out. And then Happy Mag reached out and were like, hey, can we premiere this? And I was like, yeah, all right, let's go. Like, and I was touring at the time. So it was crazy and I was working. And, but then I feel like that was really the beginning of the next chapter and the new sound. And Dead to Me is my favorite release as well so far. And the songs that are in the works right now if you liked that one, you're going to love these two because they're cool. On that vibe. Mm. So, yeah.
That's cool. That's really, really exciting. Yeah. And I'm keen to sort of hear about what's coming up for you in the future as well. And yeah. Then shuffling right along, 2020 saw the release of This Is What It Means to Be Human, which is such a nice track as well. This one is another one that I really, really like. And I do recall when you released this one and when it came out and you had the music, I remember you had the music video on the rooftop that accompanied this one as well. This one's just so, I mean, this one really sums up, I think, your very down to earth and human, I mean, song title, human, I guess, songwriting, right? It's very, it's just so authentic. And I think that's so, not that there's not authentic artists out there, but I think that's such an important quality to have in today's day and age, to be authentic and just be truly you. So tell us about this track, because this one's really cool too.
Thank you. Just like on that note of like authenticity, I think if we're talking about brand in small business and in music and digital marketing, I think authentic is like the top keyword for my brand. I just want to be real. The music that I write, I want it to be relatable. I want it to reach the hearts of people, not just like, oh, that's a nice song, or I wonder what you're singing about. So that's a really nice bit of feedback there. Thank you. Human, I wrote, This Is What It Means to Be Human. I wrote during the pandemic, and I've always wanted to release like one really nice kind of ballady emotional song, because that's sort of my roots, like sitting at the piano, me and vocals, and just like, you know, bash out the vocals. So this was that one. And interestingly, like, it was a really good experience to do it during the pandemic. I didn't get to have the band in the music video and that sort of thing. And the studio time kept being delayed because the producer couldn't have people in that small space and that sort of thing. But once it was done, it was a really interesting energetic shift. As soon as it was done. Energetically for me, I was like, okay, next, you know, next sound, next thing. And I mean, I'm not sure if that's a strength or a weakness, or maybe both. I don't really sit with the moment so much as like preparing for the next chapter. And then I guess that's why, as much as I really love that ballady sound, and I'll always come back to it, and at my live shows, anyone would know, like, there is always space for an emotional ballad and a solo, but there's an enticement that exists. I don't even know if that's a word.
Enticement? Yeah, sure.
About the energy that comes with the Dead to Me kind of. So anyway, yeah, that was that song, and it was really fun to write. And thanks for saying authentic.
no problem. It's so cool. I mean, just the songs that you do have out now already. And yeah, I'm sure, I mean, as you've been hinting, there's so much more in the works.
Like just this little tip of the iceberg, and people are like, yeah, I listen to your music. And I'm like, oh, I wish you could listen to it all, because like, you know, but I have to be patient, as you know, like you have to just each release is so energetically and financially consuming. And time-wise as well. So you can't just like have three albums. You need to undertake the journey. So patience.
That's right. And I'm sure it'll all pay off in the end. And it's cool seeing, and again, going back to the whole journey thing and the progression, it's cool seeing where you are on that now.
That's it.
Yeah, which is cool. Let's jump back to you touched on sort of like leaving this corporate job. And we can dive into that, which I find interesting as well, in terms of careers and jobs and juggling music and sort of what that looks like. Did you want to dive into that story, and maybe like how you left that corporate world and maybe what you're doing now as well?
Yeah, absolutely. So at university, and this is something that like I feel weird about, because you know, I try to just like fit one category, but I've never really been that person. I went to university, I studied a Bachelor of Arts and a Bachelor of Law. So my arts major was French studies, and I kind of had in the back of my head that French would be my passion, maybe like become a French teacher, I'm not sure. But then I had sort of some family members being like, go get like a really good opportunity, get a law degree. And I was lucky enough to have that option after finishing school. So I did somehow complete a law degree and then followed the path that comes with such degree, which is internships, being a paralegal, clerking in a courtroom, and working in barristers' chambers. And I'm not going to say that I was very bad at it. That wasn't the case. Like I actually enjoyed the challenge and I enjoyed the research, and my brain still operates to some degree in that way. I'm a very like mathematical sort of like hardworking type of person, but then my creative side was too oppressed, whatever. And just these little hints out in the world and from people around me and in my music and in my songwriting, it was just telling me like, I need to go on this journey. So, without going into too much detail, eventually I left a job, which I guess highlighted for me that I was not meant to be there. And I decided to make the really hard decision to like sacrifice all of that and that financial security as well, to seek out mental health and happiness.
Mm.
So I did, and I worked casually in random jobs for like 2 years, and I got back to like the jobs that I was doing casually at university. I just like went back to those so that I could make an income and focus on music and just like take a second to stop and think like, what the heck am I doing and why am I here and what's my purpose? It's a bit of a midlife crisis, you could say, at the age of 23. And part of that, I guess that chapter was moving from Sydney to Newcastle. So I was living in Sydney at the time. And now I guess I'm living in a world that is like a lot more true to who I am as an artist, as a creative. I'm a lot more in touch with nature. I'm able to kind of work in part-time jobs. I am also studying a master's, which I've just commenced.
Mm, cool.
So that's a bit scary. But I am going to become a school teacher.
Nice.
So that I can fulfill that desire, that like mathematical brain, you know, and like go to work and connect with people and have that stability, but then also have the space and energy, hopefully, for the music career. So I'm hoping to do both. And that's where I'm at. And it's all been shifting. Like this week has been a really major shift in my life. So, well-timed podcast.
Hey, yeah. No, that's so good. And that's a really inspiring story, I think. And to have that bravery, especially, you know, when you're in your 20s, I think you said 23 is when you sort of had that flip around, I guess. But I think it's tricky when you're in maybe a job or a career like that. And it's actually, oh man, so many guests have had a similar story actually, where they've sort of been maybe felt stuck in a certain career, a certain line, which maybe provides them with financial security. And yeah, it's a tough decision because you've got the safety of that. And as well, it's like, it's your peers and your family that sort of almost, you know, you don't want to let them down in a way.
The voice is saying like, you know, just think about your mortgage when you're older, think about how long you want to be working for. Like I've got my dad who works so hard to make his like financial security a thing. And he's like, you don't want to be where I am. And like my mom who has made so many sacrifices to put me where I am today with an education. And I was like, no, I want to be a musician. You know, there's guilt associated with that that I had to tackle as well. So I don't know if you've had other people say that as well, but it was a huge decision.
Mm. But it's cool hearing about the lifestyle now. And you mentioned stuff like being more connected with nature. And would you say overall that you feel like comparing yourself now, just like as a human being, comparing yourself to back then, do you feel like you're a happier person now after making all those moves?
Words can't even describe that, Lucky. Mm. Like, how I've evolved. Yeah, I was like a shell of myself actually. And I've just been like chasing this this self-development. It's all kind of intertwined. Like music is one aspect, but mental health and exercise and therapy and like, you know, thinking about anxiety and what it is, and it's our body's response. It's telling us something's not right. I learned to listen to that, and it's very wholesome. It's very, yeah, I'm really more myself than I've ever been.
Yeah. And I think just to touch on that, like to sum all that up as well, it even ties back to the music. As you mentioned before, about the key word for you is authenticity. And now you've come to your, it feels like you've come to your true authentic self now. And, you know, it's carrying through to that music as well, which is really, really cool to see. So I think that's really inspiring. So many musicians, I think, as the young musicians as well, like I think the youngest guest I've had on was like 17, just like finishing school. And it, yeah, and I think it's tricky because especially when you're leaving school, there's almost an expectation to, yeah, to go to university, get that job, get started on that career. And it's such a tricky time. It's so tricky. I mean, because as humans, we're all so different and we develop at different times as well. But,
it makes
you know,
me feel like if there was that pressure wasn't there to just go to uni, maybe I would have studied something a little bit more true to, you know, this authentic self. But then also everything happens for a reason. And like all of those steps shaped me. And like for you, the steps that you've taken, we can't regret.
Mm.
We have to like take the steps that we've undertaken and go, okay, that has shaped the person I am today. And that's the reason I'm here. I may not have this insight or this like self-development had I, you know, taken a different path. So yeah, you're right though. Like it is a tricky societal pressure to get a career and get working and start your mortgage repayments and
That's the thing. Yeah, I was about to say that as well, just like about having regrets, and it's so easy to sort of feel regretful if you go back to the music world and you sort of regret that sort of that other lifestyle that you had. But you're right, everything happens for a reason and it all teaches you lessons. You know, this brought you back onto that path of music, and you see it so often how people sort of just, you know, it's all that life just leads you back to where you're meant to be, which is really, really cool. We've spent plenty of time talking about the past, which is great hearing about the journey and where you've come from. Let's talk a bit more about the future. I'd love to hear a little bit about the stuff that you have been working on. Totally feel free to reveal as much as you'd like to, if there's any potential releases coming up around the corner, or you could just talk about the sound of the music that you are creating. What can we expect from Danielle Rassie in the future?
Yeah, awesome. So I have spent the last 6 months bringing back one particular song, which I wrote when I was 14, and I've evolved it into this new sound, which I said, as we discussed, is more along the lines of like that energetic, like driven pop or pop rock or indie rock, I don't know, sound, which is dead to me. It's a song called Beautiful Smile. That's one of the upcoming singles. I also have three other new ones, and I'm deliberating as to whether these should be singles before an album or an EP. Not too sure. But I've got studio time booked for two of them. And I am so excited to hear what happens. I am, I've decided to make more of an effort to work purely with women and non-binary individuals in the studio, because as much as I've really enjoyed my time working in the studio with predominantly men, and I say that because that's what's mostly available in terms of the work, I'm really excited to work in a space where there are more diverse individuals, I guess. So the studio time I've booked in Sydney is with two lovely ladies who are very much in the LGBT community, and my band is quite diverse. My bass player is male, but my drummer is female, and I'm really enjoying the mix of that. So this whole project is starting to feel more in line with that authenticity that we're talking about. So those two singles, there's going to be a lot associated with it. I'm stepping up, I'm leveling up energetically, time-wise, financially. The goals are all kind of going to come to a head with that. Whether or not it's an album or an EP, I don't know, or maybe just a couple of singles and see where we go. But I have definitely enjoyed the downtime while I consider these options, and yeah, we can expect to see at least one single this year, if not two, although I don't know if I have the time for two singles this year, so we'll see.
Yeah, no, that's exciting. It's so cool, and I'm excited that we're talking to you now on the podcast, because it's like, it feels like, you know, for the first couple of years you've sort of really elevated yourself to this position, which is you're in a pretty good level now, and just talking about the music that you are now, and just like sort of the way you're talking about like your life and sort of how you're feeling now and everything, you feel like there's a lot of potential there in terms of like blowing up and pretend, you know, just like,
I don't know.
I think when you're happy as a person and as an individual, you know, it comes through in your music, right? Like your music and everything just sort of ties together. So no, it's exciting.
Like the idea of like blowing up, you know, or like getting heaps of exposure. Mm. I've done a few really cool support gigs with artists who I admire, who are my age or younger even. And there's very much a formula, give or take space for individualism, but a formula to follow in terms of social media and digital marketing, presence, authenticity, the balance between, as you would know, as an independent artist, the writing, but also the whole business side of things, booking, management, paying your musicians, booking shows, touring, thinking big picture, but thinking medium term and short term goals and all of this stuff. So I very much am following a formula, so to speak, which I sort of cracked the code with, and I'd be more than happy to share with you or any listener who would like to discuss, you know, the formula I've sort of worked out. But I'm just going to keep following it and keep working hard. And at the end of the day, if you're enjoying the songwriting and the performing, you're going to be doing it anyway, right? So, and if people want to listen, what a privilege. So that's all I'm going to do, just keep doing it.
Exciting. So exciting. Before we do wrap up, I did want to talk about this other little project that you started, which I discovered. Talk Music to Me Management. Yeah. And this is cool because I mean, in the Instagram description, it seems like early days for this still, but the Instagram description reads digital marketing content platform, interviewing artist and tour management and music resources. And this is a project all started by you, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So what's the inspiration behind this? Tell us a little bit about this project.
Well, this project is a way for me to channel my sort of diverse energies into helping others. So helping others is a big, and elevating the voices of other people is a big one for me. I want to do that. I want to get out there and help and give opportunities for people to voice their work and their opinions. And, you know, also in an age where like, the way we use our voice is actually really important. I want to provide that opportunity. But also artist management feels like something I could do as a career. The end goal initially was that maybe it could be a record label or something like that one day. But initially it's just going to be like similar to what you're doing, but just like artist Q&As. And we're also going to be doing showcases, songwriters in the round style events where every three artists that we Q&A will be showcased for their songwriter's show, and they will sell the tickets to their audience. And so that's the idea now. It is slow to pick up just because of so many other things happening in life right now. But yeah, I'm really excited, and I'm very excited to have you on the show as well if you will come along. So
sure.
Always we want down. To do a Sydney chapter. We want to do a Central Coast chapter, Newcastle. We're going to do Melbourne. There's lots of things in the works. So, yes.
That's Thank exciting.
You Thank you.
Yeah. That's and yeah, I mean, it's just hearing what you're saying there about like sort of like elevating the voices of artists and stuff. Like, it's like, yeah, exactly. Like the whole idea of this podcast as well, Indie Music Diary, is just sort of like chill podcasts, but for like artists that, you know, at any level basically, and you know, whether you're independent or not, it doesn't even actually matter, but like, yeah, just speaking to artists and especially the brand new artists that don't really have a voice, just giving them a platform. So that's cool to see that you're doing a similar thing there as well, and you sound very busy, which is very good.
Yeah, it's kind of nuts. Like there was a time where I burnt out and I had too much going on, and I just did like I had to just stop and listen to my mind and my body. And with the masters commencing, Talk Music to Me is probably going to be on the back burner slightly. But yeah, I'm excited. And I really appreciate you having me on the show, by the way. It's very nice.
Nah, for sure. Thanks so much. Thanks so much. Thanks so much for coming on again. And before I do let you go, give yourself a sneaky little plug. Where can people find Danielle Rassi on the socials and your music?
Okay, awesome. Well, you can find me pretty much anywhere. My music's available on all the streaming platforms, Spotify, iTunes, Deezer, Google Play, you name it. Google Music, I think it's called. But I am very engaged as a human on Instagram, on TikTok. I've just started with some cool little harmonies. I'm really enjoying the duet opportunities on TikTok. Cool. I engage a fair bit on Facebook. And if you wanted to sign up to my mailing list and come along to some shows, you can head onto my website, which is just danny-lrassimusic.com, or just head to my Instagram, which is just danny.lrassi, so E-L-R-A-S-S-I.
So good. Well, once again, Danny, thanks so much for coming on Indie Music Diaries.
Thank you for having me.
No worries. Guys, thanks so much for listening to another episode, new episodes of Indie Music Diaries every Monday fortnight, and we'll see you in the next one.